Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
That's Arthi.
That's Noor.
And you're listening to The Reality Is.
Mexico's great. I'm sitting here with a full face of makeup on at 10:30 at night with a baby sleeping in my room.
Oh.
I'm Zen Wen.
Zen Wen. You got time. You are in Mexico.
Okay, let me tell you something. Okay.
You got central time, but you got time.
Yeah, let me tell you something. I was Zen Wen in the sense that I thought I was going to be so relaxed today because I was, you know, I'm on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also on vacation with two kids. And I also had to travel since like 4 a.m. It's that feeling where you're like, I'm Zen. And you're then like, you're just like popping off at every single thing. So yeah, I'm 100% Zen Wen right now.
That is the definition of Zen Wen. When you are trying to be Zen, you know you have to be Zen. You have candles everywhere. You're sitting in a bathtub with bubbles in it, but then you are annoyed at your kid and you're screaming your head off. So be calm. That is Zen Wen.
You know, when I think about like Wendy's background, I think that's actually really accurate because immigrant mothers often tell you this thing that I don't care what, I'm totally fine. I have low expectations in life. I have no problems in the world.
Blah, I expect blah. The worst of my kids and my husband anyway. So
yeah,
who cares? You're not disappointing me. You're just proving me right, which is just annoying and irritating, by the way. But I am not surprised. That's what I'm feeling right now. I can feel the temperature rising in the back of my neck. I can feel the irritation and I just want to pop off.
But that is sold as being totally calm.
Yeah, I am calm.
I am calm. I just despise everyone and everything around me. You know,
right.
That's very much so. You know, Wendy, I know that everybody's very perplexed by her, but let me tell you something. It's on brand for our people.
Yeah.
I mean just immigrants. I'm not Nigerian.
And that's why she's leaning towards candles, because she can feel the Zen waning away from her Wen. So she's like, I need to have some Zen. So she's trying to make these candles.
Oh,
one of the things that everybody's talking about is the fact that those candles, that's a branding thing that she's missing, that she should call her candles Zen Wen.
Can you
imagine?
And
why isn't she? And then I thought maybe it is because of what's his name? Chaz Deans. I was like, Chad. That doesn't sound good. He's not a Chad for sure. He's a Chaz.
He's a Chaz.
Yes, he's like a jazz hand Chaz. Yeah, with flowy, beautiful hair. No, it's like Chaz Dean's company is Wen, so maybe that's why she didn't go down that path.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe she had some copyright and trademark issues with that.
It's possible. But let me tell you something. Brujas of Potomac this week, my favorite character of all time, I think, as of this week, is Robin Dixon with the faces on the side.
Right? When Wendy walked, when Juan asked her if the kids are up, and then when Wendy walked into her warehouse and started talking about the candles, Robin could barely keep her, she could barely stop laughing. She was like controlling her face so hard. It was funny. It was funny as shit.
It was funny as shit. All right, let's talk about Real Houses of Potomac. Today we're going to talk about Potomac and Shadows of Sunset.
Yeah.
We open up with Robin being just like me. She loves to snooze the alarm.
Mm-hmm.
And much like my husband, Juan Dixon is very annoyed that he's here right now.
Yeah. He's like, I'm here right now. You are not. You are somewhere else.
Let me tell you something. Again.
That bed looked so cozy too.
That's the
when
thing.
She went back into the bed and pulled her comforter on, I wanted to do the same. I was like, oh, that feels so good.
And I was watching this episode while I was like packing Sunday night. So it was one of those moments where I was watching Robin and I was like, you bitch.
I know.
I can't wait to be in bed. I have to say, I know, again, everybody loves Juan Dixon, but I don't like the tone that Juan is taking about you always make excuses and I'm tired of it and blah, blah, blah. I was like, that is so fucking rude. And he's like, oh, you're up. You can't just, the kids need to wake up, blah, blah. I'm like, Juan, if you're awake, sir, do stuff with the kids.
Right. He was. He was just walking in. But he also said, remember for the other kid, he was like, are you in? Are you logged in? He woke up the second kid and he did all that. I think he was not in
the room. No, she did that. She did that.
No, she woke up one kid. She didn't wake up the other one. She said she still had 4 minutes, remember?
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, if why are you getting mad at Robin for sleeping in if you can do the same exact thing is my thing. Is like, if you're a morning person and she's not, then you should take on the morning.
But, you know, the other flip side of it is it may be a situation. And I'm not trying to support Juan because he's hot and I would love to support him. That's not why I'm doing this, but I'm just thinking.
You'd love to support him sexually?
Yes. In so many other ways. But but the other flip side of it is that maybe she's going through some kind of a depressive phase of something. And it's just getting to a point where Juan has to do everything with the kids. And she's just not moving. So he's just frustrated and take it out. You know, men, it takes a while before men realize, oh, she's depressed and she's going through something.
I get it. But it's like, he's taken the same, I'm so sick of her shit tone with Robin for as long as they've been on TV.
Yeah, which is why they may not be on the same page anymore.
Yeah, which is why sometimes I'm like, this relationship sucks. Everybody wants to blow Juan Dixon, which again, I get it. He's super hot, but he's kind of a piece of shit. Like him even being like, oh, things were so up and down and, you know, stuff was so hard on us. And I know we've had a hard year, but like, Robin, you need to get your stuff together. It's like Robin's been having a hard time because her husband and her only partner ever in her life cheated on her. Like things have been not good, not because of Robin, but also because of, for majority of it, because of Juan. So this whole like, I don't know, I'm just irritated with Juan. And I think I'm having a private experience when I watch him do that, because when I'm depressed, I behave like Robin.
Yeah, I do behave like Robin. But I also feel like she can, and what I feel happened here, because we've seen enough of these scenes, is that she just gave up and just wasn't pulling her own weight. And it was getting on Juan because he had to do a lot himself. That's the feeling I'm getting, that he's annoyed that she's not waking up on time, getting the kids in front of the devices on time, and making sure they're getting a lot of other stuff done while he has to take care of his own job. She's not necessarily working. She was back ordered on her business too. She hadn't fulfilled orders there either. She could be waking up and packing that. And she
wasn't. Let me tell you something. You want to talk about working? Robin Dixon is the only one bringing in a major paycheck right now by just sleeping and letting the cameras film her sleeping.
That is true.
Okay?
That is true.
She's making more money.
She doesn't have to do much more than what she did. And she can.
Yes.
Imagine if she actually worked.
Okay, yeah. Robin is making far more money hitting the snooze button on camera than she is with the embellish hats, okay?
That's true.
Juan, shut up, Juan. Juan is encroaching into shut up Curtis territory for me, and I don't love that, okay?
See, I cannot see beyond the dimples, so I'm sorry.
I know. All right, then we go to Karen Huger and La Dame wig launch, okay? Arthi? Yeah. Arthi, you were right in that I believe that Karen is trying to kill Ray, because the scene opens with her making him lift and move heavy shit.
I told you.
Or here's my other theory. Ray is purposely moving heavy shit so that he needs to go and get adjusted. No, he needs to go get adjusted by Mia.
Oh my God, that is so funny. But he was so sweet. He adjusted the light for her. He adjusted everything. He made sure she looked good. And then he popped in. Like, so cute. And she's all made up and he looks all grungy.
I was like, what is Ray doing at this wig launch? Yeah. Also, I want to shout out to a friend of the podcast, Instagram, Bravo Instagrammer. Bravo by Brett was on
the Zoom call. I didn't notice until you picked it up.
I was like losing it. I was his beautiful bright face was on it. And it made me laugh because underneath it said LaDom customers. And I was like, Brett, are you getting LaDom wigs? Tell us.
You know what you're getting from Brett this on your birthday.
Yeah. Brett, send me a LaDom wig. Then we see Giselle and Ashley go to lunch. And you know what's weird about, like, I know, again, Giselle is a person that a lot of people love to hate. But there's something about Giselle which is so warm. Arthi is currently swatting a fly away like Dharma from Family Karma. Okay.
Something has been in my office all day. And I was texting with somebody, one of our friends, Gunkel, and he was like, are you going to kill it? Or are you going to let it in, let it out? It's going to bring back its friends. And of course, it brought back three more. And I was like, I can't kill it. I cannot do any harm.
You were so sweet and gentle with that fly that fly went was like, you have to come to this house. This lady is so sweet. She dances for us.
Oh my God, now I have four flies in my house that I'm trying to get rid of.
Welcome to the podcast, flies.
I have two dogs, four flies, one kid.
Flies, who is your problematic favorite on Bravo? even the flies
would probably say Dharma.
Yeah, no. Even the flies are like, Craig Conover is a problem.
Expect that.
They're like, even we have standards.
Oh my God.
So Giselle and Ashley are at lunch, and Giselle, whenever there's anything to do with like maternal child, anything, whether it's her children or somebody else's child, Giselle is just so likable. Like, uh-huh. She's so sweet to Ashley. She's like, please eat my food. I know you're hungry. Like, I want to touch your belly. Like, she's so sweet to her. I see why Giselle is a likable person and why people want to be.
She's one-on-one. I think she can be very likable. It's when she gets in that scenario of in the group scenario, and especially with Karen, where she turns on her Bravo hat.
Yes.
It's not a one-on-one interaction, personal interaction. It becomes more like, I'm doing this for the show. And that's when she gets all hyper.
But also in the same meeting, Giselle says to Ashley, Michael makes me nervous.
She's open about it.
No, but
Ashley's like, me too.
Yeah. But then I'm like, Giselle giving advice to Ashley about staying with her cheating partner is rich.
Yeah. Right? I half expected Ashley to say, yeah, you would know.
Yeah.
I can see how you would know. Yeah. You've been there.
Yeah. And I almost wish that Ashley would, but you know. I think it's because
I feel sometimes that the younger women, especially Ashley, even to some extent Monique used to do that, they all still treat her like she's the first lady of their church. There's like a sense of, we can go this far with Giselle, but we're not going to cross the line with Giselle.
I mean, I don't know. When I think about Real Housewives of Potomac, I always think about Giselle. I think Giselle is the face of the franchise.
Yeah.
I think Karen believes that she's the face of the franchise, and I think to some degree she is.
Right.
But Karen wants to be treated like the first lady.
Uh-huh.
And Giselle is treated like the first lady.
Yeah.
But at this thing, Ashley's recapping Karen's party, and she talks about Mia's clitoroplasty. Mm-hmm. We didn't talk about this last week. So Mia at the last party said she had 3 C-sections, and she just had to get her clit done because they get it in too much. Mm-hmm. But then in the game, she's like, oh, we love to have missionary sex.
Yes.
I said, ma'am, unless your husband's dick is an eggplant, I don't know why or yeah. how that would happen.
Which is why we know that that's not how it happened.
Yeah. And then we obviously later on this episode, we find out that she was also maybe a stripper, maybe an escort.
Maybe an escort, maybe something in between.
Who yeah. knows? Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody on Clubhouse today was, I just hopped on Clubhouse briefly, and there was somebody who was going to go boots on the ground to the club to figure out whether the how long the gowns were and what was the actual. Somebody was going to do that. We'll figure it out. Les knows who's going to do that. Les was going to give them more airtime once they had all the information they needed.
Oh, I love that.
So
I
maybe
love
next
that.
Clubhouse we'll know.
Maybe.
But apparently this is like an club with an escort service attached to it. So the women come and they're in like beautiful gowns and they spend a lot of hours with the men talking and giving them company, and sometimes it leads to other things and sometimes it doesn't, but it's up to the woman.
I mean, from what I've heard from multiple men in my life, not including my husband because he's like a sweet baby angel, but everybody else is a real piece of shit, but they've told me that like going to a strip club and leaving with somebody to have sex with who works there is not an uncommon thing. You know, there's just a lot of questions about Mia, but here's my question about Mia. So Ashley is telling Giselle how Mia was like, I don't like Giselle anymore. Mm-hmm. She's just a pretty face. But then Giselle says, well, Mia has been texting me. They cut to the text messages and Giselle has Mia saved as Mia Thorpe. Who the fuck is Mia Thorpe? Who's that?
I don't know. That's Giselle.
Are you sure, Giselle, that the right Mia has been texting you? Because maybe that's a different Mia. It.
I wonder if she still has that, or has she changed the name? That would be funny.
It just cracks me up because, you know, Bravo has requested the text messages. So she screenshot it and she sent it and she didn't think at that point, wait a minute, her name is wrong. But also in the text messages, because she's in a group text with Giselle and Robin, it seems more like Mia is trying to get cozy with Robin so that Juan is around for the Suns to play basketball with. So I was like, okay, it's actually Giselle, maybe not about you.
Yeah. So so the kids are in, there's a football team and a basketball team, Little League, that Juan is a head coach for.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to this is with his kids. He is coach for them and he's really good at it. I've seen those games and he's really good with the kids. And those teams are good. They win all of the championships. I can see how she wants to get her son into that Little League stuff. And this is an easy way to get there. So I can see that path. I know a lot of people want to do that.
Yeah. So she's just trying to rub up with Robin, but Robin is barely awake and now she's handling her hats. Now I thought when we cut to the scene that Ascali was her assistant.
Mm-hmm. I thought so too.
My notes say Robin's assistant Ascali is doing too much.
Yes, but it wasn't. It was somebody just like Zen Wen. This was somebody else who had come in. She had come in to help Robin because Robin had already packed a whole bunch of boxes. Somebody else that she pays. Some two kids that she pays, interns, and already come and packed those boxes. Robin had a handful to pack for the scene that she had left over. And that's when Ascali showed up.
Yeah.
So I was like Louboutin for packing, helping Robin out. I was like, Robin, this is not how you do business. You pay your assistant way too much. That's what I thought. And then I was like, wait a minute, maybe she's not our assistant.
I just thought they were fake.
Yeah. I thought they were real, but that Robin was paying way too much.
You're so sweet to think Robin would be so generous. Although that's possible.
Yeah.
Robin would
not good with money.
No, she's not. But Ascali, I guess, is a new friend of. And Wendy is meeting up with Robin at the hat place. And they're basically recapping what happened at this party. And then Wendy is talking to the ladies about her candle business.
Yeah.
Robin. Okay, this is Robin Dixon, who every season has come in with like a bananas new business scheme.
Mm-hmm.
She's not good with money. We know she's not successful. But even Robin is like, Wendy, candles?
Yes. Robin is like, if I had 4 degrees, would I be doing that? No, I'm doing the truck business, the house flipping business, the hat business because I don't have 4 degrees.
Yeah.
What is this?
Yeah, exactly. Robin's like, don't stoop to my level, please. But yeah.
She could barely contain herself. It was so funny to watch her face.
Oh my gosh. This is, again, like, everybody thinks Robin is boring, and this is why Robin is not boring. Mm-hmm. We go to Candace's house, and Dorothy has entered the chat via mm-hmm. a FaceTime, and Dorothy is now doing the Mama Joyce mm-hmm. because Candace tells her mother that Chris is her husbinder, and Dorothy more or less says, Todd is coming in with the bullshit.
Yes.
Oh, like Candy's, like Candy's aunt said, because I guess Chris is the new Todd. That's what we're learning.
Yeah, but you know, Candace does something that Candy never did. Candy would just smile and say, Mom, and she would just give that silly smile of hers. She would not put down her mom ever on camera.
Yeah.
But Candace is like, don't ever talk to me like that. Like, don't bring that bullshit. You have no right. You don't say that. Keep quiet, woman.
Yeah, exactly. I
appreciated that. I was like, oh, good. That was nice, Candace, standing up for your husband like that.
Guys, I think Candace is having her redemption
glow up
arc.
Season. It's a glow-up season. It's a slow glow-up season she's being. See, if she only kept herself, if she kept her potty mouth closed on Twitter, she mm-hmm. would actually do well.
She's getting better.
She's getting better. She's responding well. But if she just controlled her emotions and said was less offensive on Twitter, she could actually have a glow up. We are not saying that she's any better than before. We're just saying that if we were her, this is how we would have our glow up.
You know, I am going to say that she's better than before, but I also am not going to deny that she was a monster before.
Yeah, she was a monster. And she might continue, but she can control it. If she can control that monster, she would actually be pretty pleasant.
She, for sure, for sure.
Yeah.
So Karen and Wendy meet to talk candles and business. And Wendy says she wants to be the Black Martha Stewart.
The Bill Gates, Black Bill Gates, Black Martha Stewart. They're reaching for people that are like decades ago. Reach for somebody who is more modern.
Who is a 90s actress? Hold on. 90s actress with... home care line.
Ooh, I know who. Wait, Kmart. What's her name? Ashley.
Yes.
Not Ashley Stewart. Ashley something. Catherine Ireland. Right?
That's the one. Oh my God. Yes. Wendy thinks that she's being Black Martha Stewart, but she's probably being more Black Catherine Ireland. Is that her name? Kathy Ireland?
Kathy Ireland.
Yeah.
From Kmart.
Yes. That's what she's being. I'm like, Wendy, what are you doing? And even Wendy doesn't know what she's doing. Like, it almost felt like Wendy was coming to Karen's house to be like, isn't this storyline bullshit? And Karen's like, yeah, it is. And Wendy's like, oh, I can't handle it. Like, I was like, what is this? Even Wendy doesn't believe in herself.
And then Karen feeling all important because Wendy's asking her questions. She's like, oh, she's here for my mentorship. Let me ask her the most obvious questions. Now, do you have a product? And then Wendy steps back in anticipation. She's like so nervous. And then she's like, this is good, Wendy. She was so serious. I was laughing fast. And then she says, now, do you have a business plan? And Wendy's like, I wrote half a paragraph. Like a paragraph.
Yeah.
And you know that the line where she says, what is if? And now you have a budget, just double that. You know that was something somebody told Karen.
Yeah.
Kathy Ireland's Wikipedia says that she's one of the top 10 to watch home and home designers. She's been designing homes, doing all these designs for decades. How long are we going to watch her?
I mean, here's the thing. If she's rolling in dough via Kmart, then I guess we must watch her because we are watching her. We're watching her swim like Scrooge McDuck on her Kmart money. Mm-hmm. So, so that's what Wendy wants to be. And yeah, Karen is just all too excited to be like placed in that role. And you know, remember we were watching the trailers and we were like, what is it that Giselle did that caused Wendy to switch sides from Giselle to Karen, right? Like, what could it have been? How do Wendy and Karen become best buds? And this was it. It's like Wendy literally needed to go and kiss the ring. And Karen now is like, yes, okay, I'm in.
Yeah.
We learn a little bit more about Mia, and we learn about Mia's mom and her backstory. And here's the thing about Mia that I think was driving me crazy. She's telling the story about her mom, and her voice changes. She's a different voice when she's talking to her husband about her mother. And then she does a different voice. She does like a Gretchen Rossi, like, I wrote down somebody, I can't remember, I like wrote it on my phone. I wrote down who she reminds me of when she talks this way. But she does this like really high-pitched sort of like putting on a front Valley Girl voice. You know what she sounds like? She sounds like what I sound like to my husband when I'm talking to white people. You know what I mean?
Why would you talk to your husband white people? That's a whole other question.
No, when he hears me talking to white people, he's like, you're putting on your white person white voice, people. You know? That's what, and I'm not saying that Mia, it's not so much like even her accent, it's the way that her voice changes, her actual voice changes. Mm-hmm. And when she's talking about her mother, which is a very compelling story, she was put in foster care, her mother is an addict. I want to learn more about that, and I would like that side of Mia instead of the one who's like, I'm a boss bitch.
Yeah, I think that comes from her extensive career in the club where she had to to put on a persona. So she switches back and forth, and you can tell when she's being genuine and when she's putting on a show.
Absolutely. I think that
is true when she's talking, to her husband, to her kids, when she's talking to somebody else she was talking to. I think it was like Ashley on the side, and she was normal. She sounded like very down to earth. And then she starts getting into those scenes that she knows this is going to become a scene. And you can see her put on a different voice and a different set of syllables come out.
Also, Mia says Valentine's Day is coming up.
Valentine's Day. She said Valentine's Day so well. I was like, did she just say Valentine's Day? I was
like, are you saying that because of your kids? Like, who talks this way? No. Oh, good. Karen visits Candace and to talk about what happened last season. Now, nobody is really quite talking about what happened last season between Karen and
Candace.
They are
not mentioning Monique. They don't mention her name. Did you notice that they don't mention her name?
Yes.
But they talk about the situation.
But they also are avoiding talking about Karen called Bravo HR. Yeah. Not even Bravo HR. I guess she called Bravo to try to get Candace fired.
She said Candace was mentally upset or had issues, right?
She said she was mentally disturbed or something
disturbed,
like that.
Disturbed, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, Karen goes to visit Candace and they have this little tea time. And it cracked me up because Karen's like, now, I know, Candace, you were upset because you were upset physically because of the assault. She goes, okay. And she's like, but I was also emotionally very hurt. And Candace is like, what were you hurt about? And Karen
what did Candace do to you?
And then Karen says she's emotionally upset because everyone got mad at her for not supporting Candace after
Candace was physically assaulted. But you know, she gives the hint as to what that means, because she says, she follows that up with, it didn't feel good to be isolated. And I think that's what she means, that when she took Monique's side, the rest of the group took Candace's side and they isolated her from scenes and from, you know, group situations. Oh. And she could have been, there could have been a situation where Karen could have easily been off the show.
You're right.
Very easily, because she wasn't participating in any of that drama. She could have been easily off the show along with Monique.
That's what that means.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
That's, she's talking about being isolated. Because remember on the couch, other than Monique, because she was the only one that was supporting sort of Monique, everybody was going at Karen as a surrogate for Monique.
No, not Ashley. Ashley wasn't.
Ashley was truly being Switzerland without saying she was being Switzerland.
I mean, Ashley was not being Switzerland because she wrote a character letter.
That's true.
Yeah.
But no, I think she got a pass. Why did she get a pass, bigger pass than Karen? I don't understand. But
Ashley,
I think
always gets a pass. She gets a pass against Karen. She gets a pass against Candace.
Because she, like, every time they have to go hard at Ashley, she gets pregnant. So she's like, I'm pregnant. And then, you know, you saw how Candace said, I'm not going to say anything. Not when she's carrying a baby. I'm not going to say anything, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody's giving her a pass.
Can you hear music in the background?
A little bit. Gotcha. But it's not too bad. It's not too bad.
Okay. Well, for folks who are listening to music in the background a little bit now, it's because I had to move because children need to be put to bed. So we're sitting outside now. And I apologize for any of the music that you hear in the back.
But it's good music. So it's fine.
It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
It makes me laugh because Karen doesn't, obviously, she goes to Candace's house almost looking for an apology from Candace. And Candace is looking for an apology from Karen, which she's not going to get, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then it makes me laugh because it's like Karen's the person who wants an apology from Candace, even because Candace was upset. Because Karen didn't support Candace because Candace got assaulted. But Karen is also the person who is mad at Giselle for once saying, I'm still going to be pretty after Ray Huger is gone.
Is long gone. Yeah.
Is long gone. Like, she also thinks that that's a death threat. So it's like, Karen, there's no, like, standard to which you can, like, understand, like, a Karen brain.
This is the beauty of Karen, okay? The levels of delusion and the reaches that she can make to create drama. It's beauty. And she does it without necessarily... See, this is a different... She does it with the delusion of a housewife, but not with the meanness or spite of a housewife.
Yes.
Housewives in other, you know, franchises. She doesn't do it out of spite. She does it truly because part of her believes that delusion and the other part of her knows that it makes for good TV. So she's doing things a little bit calculated there.
I'm telling you, she's very much like Luann in that way.
Mm-hmm. But she doesn't slip up and give in to her emotions very easily. She's very aware of what she's doing when she's doing, how she's speaking. She's very aware of it.
But I don't know if she's aware of how phony she is.
Oh, no, she's not aware of that. That's the part. That's the beauty. She is. Yes. She truly doesn't know how delusional she is. That's why she's funny. That's why it's such a pleasure to watch her navigate all of these relationships, because it is so funny for us to know how fake that is and for her to not realize it.
I love Karen Huger. Oh, God. How can you not love her?
Yeah.
So next we go to this pamper party that Giselle is throwing for Ashley, because, again, Giselle is very great with pregnant people and babies.
Yeah.
So it's a lovely party that Giselle begrudgingly invites Karen to upon request by Ashley, which is very nice of Giselle. But the best part is that I love the fact that Karen and Giselle show up for filming and just ignore each other. They don't even speak to each other. And honestly, like, that tension is enough for me, because that's always been the part of Housewives that always makes me laugh, is because, like, that's the part I find so relatable, because it is really awkward when you do get into those real life situations where you've had a fight with people, but you have common friends. So you have to get together in a group because, you know, it's somebody's kid's third birthday party. Like, it's like you have to suck it up and, like, deal with that tension. And I love that when Housewives does that stuff. Early seasons of, I feel like, maybe Atlanta used to be like that. Mm-hmm. Jersey was definitely like that, where you have awkward, like, situations where people in the same room. So I love that about Karen and Giselle. They just fucking ignore each other.
That whole scene at the spa, it was so funny because Karen and Giselle ignore each other. They don't talk to each other. But none of the other castmates tried to make them to talk to each other.
Yes, yes.
None of them tried to bring that up. They were all like, you guys don't talk to each other and that's fine. We are fine with it.
Yeah.
And you just say, they have separate conversations. They are not being artificially, nobody's trying to make them make up. None of that. They just... Yes. let them be. And that's why it worked well. If they had tried to make that into an issue, then the whole Wendy and Mia thing would not have been an issue, because this would have been much bigger and it would have been uglier.
Absolutely. And I think that's, again, a mature, that's also a sign of a good cast, because despite what Giselle and Karen are going through, Robin's still going to go and hang out. Like, she's still going to be her regular, hilarious Robin self.
And Robin is not going to hang out with Karen. No. But she's hanging out with everybody else. And the way Ashley says, I do want Karen there. And Giselle is like, fine. She doesn't make a big deal about it.
Yes.
She respects Ashley's wishes. And Ashley feels comfortable talking to both Karen and Giselle and navigating that. None of them feel uncomfortable being friends with either of them. They don't feel like they have to take sides at all.
Yeah, I love that. I love it. So this is where Wendy and Mia go at it again, and Zenwen.
Zenwen has time now.
First of all, what does that even mean?
She's Zenwen.
Wendy's second season is like every housewife trope mixed into one. She's coming in with like one-liners. She's coming in with a new persona. She's got
new boobs, new butt, new persona, new career, new business, new one-liner, has a one-liner. She has a new tagline, but she also has a one-liner.
It's like she's okay. You know what it feels like to me? It's like, we know Wendy is a nerd.
Yeah.
We know Wendy loves to research, and Wendy likes to know all the things. It's like Wendy, during her time off, was like, let me just come in with all of the information. Like, she on her off season was like, I'm going to research and I'm going to learn all of the things. And then I'm just going to say all the things at once, right? Because she's like a nerd, and she wants to like prove that she knows her shit. It's like, that's what she did.
Check all the boxes. She's going to hit all the all the big points.
It's like, she's even like, if it doesn't make sense, it's like, Wendy, you don't need to do all of this.
Mm-hmm. It's not extra credits, Wendy. You don't get extra credits for everything.
And at this whole time when Wendy is going off, Robin is cracking up, because it is ridiculous.
Yeah.
It is absolutely insane. And good for Robin for laughing, because that's how we all felt.
Yeah.
Now, what I will say Wendy was correct on was, Wendy is doing a lot, but I understand getting upset that the person that you were defending is now being like, you need to calm down. Mm-hmm. You know, she was trying to defend Giselle. Yeah. And Giselle's like, dude, I did not ask for this.
Mm-hmm.
And you're doing too much, which, like, again, Wendy, you came into your new season being like, I know who the head bitch in charge is. I'm going to suck her ass.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't work out for you because you did too much. You're doing too much. You're trying too hard, Wendy. Like, calm down.
And now she feels like she picked a lane. And then Mia's coming into that lane. So she's taken an instant dislike for Mia.
Yeah.
She believes Mia lies. And Mia is sucking up to Giselle and being disloyal to Karen. Which is none of which is Wendy's problem. So why are you getting involved? Let Karen deal with that. Why are you bothered by it?
Yeah.
And she is getting too bothered by Mia. That tells me that she's so insecure about her own. The whole body thing, and the fact that Mia said, oh yeah, I've gotten it all done. That was the time. That was the moment that Wendy just went off.
Yes. And
since then, she hasn't been the same. She feels so insecure around Mia for no particular reason. Why? You were such a confident nerd in the last season. You came in and all you could talk about was your degrees, and this year all you can talk about is Mia and your business and your body. It just seems so 180, and it's very confusing as an audience to take in Wendy.
No, and also it's confusing the fact that Wendy would be turned off by somebody like Mia, who she probably thinks is trying too hard, when Wendy literally on her first or second episode was screaming in Ashley's face.
Yeah.
So it's not like Wendy is this person who's like, you know, like, oh, you need to know your place. You can't do that kind of stuff on the first season. Like, Mia's actually being a great first season housewife, and Wendy is being a psychotic second season housewife. Wendy is behaving like a third or fourth season housewife.
Do you think Wendy sees her all the things that she could have done better in her first and second season, and she sees Mia doing it and hating it off, and that's bothering her?
Great observation. Like,
she's like, oh, she came in and she just, Mia was so comfortable getting into the group. and merging in with the group. She feels very comfortable settling into the group. She doesn't feel awkward at all. Yeah. You don't get the feeling that this is this. You don't feel the same feeling as that Askela, whatever her name is, the new girl.
Yeah.
You don't feel that disconnect that she is Robin's friend who's here.
Yeah, exactly.
Scenes. You feel like Mia is part of the cast and she's there from the very first scene. And I don't think Wendy felt that comfortable. And nobody welcomed Wendy that way.
But, so you know, it's crazy because when Wendy joined last season, I immediately was like, Wendy's a great addition to the show. Right. Like, I don't think anybody questioned that, but I can understand her feeling insecure in that way because Wendy, I think, feels insecure about a lot of things. I think we're seeing a lot of those insecurities come out this season because Wendy is somebody who has lived inside of a box and now is getting the opportunity to explore what's outside of the box. Mm-hmm. And she's like, it's like, kids who never get to watch TV, seeing TV for the first time and becoming zombies. Mm-hmm. It's like Wendy is seeing all the worlds that she could possibly dive into outside of the box that she's lived in. And she's trying to do a little bit of everything. And it's like, Wendy, you look like a crazy person. Mm-hmm. But hey, do you? Because here we are spending so much time talking about you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's working. Yeah. Just a quick note that we did learn that Karen loves to drunk dial, but she keeps calling it, you know, sometimes I like to have parties at my house. And then after I've enjoyed myself at the party, I call my girlfriends and I talk to them about it. And it's like, what? Like, it was just such a funny way of Karen.
I'm going to send her my phone number. Karen, call me. I would love a drunk dial from Karen.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine how wonderful that would be? Skype me, Karen.
I mean, that's like...
Zoom call. Let's do Zoom calls with Karen.
I mean, how much is a cameo from Karen? I'll double that price. I'll pay for it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, all the LaDom wig customers did get to have a Zoom call with Karen.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about Shaws of Sunset.
Have you met Shams? I met Shams.
Baby Shams. Okay.
At this point, even I have met Shams. And guess whose fault it is, Reza? Your damn fault. That's why you are not able to fix the situation because you let Adam get to the point of putting in a, what is that called? What order?
A restraining order.
And you were happy to go with Adam and do that. And now Adam won't want to cancel it. Now you want to be friends again with Mercedes. And now it's not going to happen. Because you are the one who pushed it to that degree, and now you cannot fix it. This is one situation where you cannot fix it without destroying either your marriage or your friendship.
So the first baby Shams cry we got was with Reza in London. London was like, I don't like babies, and I met Shams, and I love him. Also, again, that's a really touchy topic. And then later on, when he goes to have this picnic with MJ, he starts crying about Shams, and MJ puts her hand on her temples. And she's like, oh, my God. Like, we can't.
She doesn't show any emotion. She doesn't feel it. She doesn't feel even an ounce of sadness for Reza. Do you feel that?
No.
She was very calm throughout.
Not at all. And I'm really starting to feel the face that she made when Reza said, I think what I'm going to have to do is we're going to have to drop the restraining order. Mm-hmm. Her face. And she goes, yes, great. That's exactly what I was trying to get at. Like, the way she's navigating it is almost like she went into the show. She went in sort of being like, look, my husband is mad at me because I have to do this show with these pieces of shit. And they have a restraining order against him. Mm-hmm. This is the only way I can fix it. I also know this is how we can make a lot of money. Mm-hmm. So this is just what I have to do. So all of this tension that we see throughout the episode where MJ and Tommy are like having these awkward date nights and they're feeling a disconnect in the relationship. It's all because MJ is having to come on camera and force herself to be friendly with Reza. I think what we learned in that moment when she says, yes, I think that would be a great idea if you remove the restraining order, is like, this is it. This is the payoff for putting up with these idiots for this long, dealing with the tension with our husband. It's like, okay, guys, look, this is what, like, Tommy, this is what I was trying to do. I was trying to help us out as a family and, like, move on, you know? But
I think that's what the agreement was. I don't think Tommy wanted her or she wanted herself to come back to the show.
No.
But the reason she came back and the reason she convinced Tommy that she needs to work and get this is, A, of course, the money and all of that. Why should she give up something for something dumb that Tommy did and them that Reza did? But also the fact that this is the one way that she could tell Tommy, look, the payoff at the end of this will be that I will get Reza.
Yeah.
I'll convince Reza to drop the restraining order on you.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Because I still keep thinking that having a restraining order on him must be devastating for Tommy career-wise.
Yes.
His job is going to do a security check, and this might show up, and this might be something that has affected him mm-hmm. in more ways than just, hey, I have a Reza and I don't talk to each other. That's not the only thing. To depict him as a violent person, that is something that could have affected his career.
Yes, exactly. So
I can understand Tommy's anger.
Yeah. What I didn't understand, well, I did understand it, is because he's a spineless weasel, is Adam at the end being like, people are going to be mad at me and they're going to be blaming me. And I don't like that. And it's like, well, Adam, people blame you for it because your husband literally is going around saying, I have to protect Adam.
Yeah.
But then also they're rightfully blaming you because you're sitting here and you're saying, if you think about me and you don't remove the restraining order, then everyone's going to get mad at me. It's like, mm-hmm. Adam, you can't have your cake and eat it too. Okay. Mm-hmm. Either be a man and say it with your chest. You don't want to be around MJ and Tommy, or mm-hmm. drop the fucking restraining order.
Yes. Here's the thing about restraining orders. You can get another one if things go awry.
Yes, exactly. Let me tell you something. One of the funniest lines I've ever heard on Shaws of Sunset is, does Folgers make crack cocaine? This is why we love Tommy.
Yeah.
That date night was very real.
Oh, that was so real.
Like, okay, so today.
First of all, it was quarantine weight. They couldn't get into the right clothes. Tommy was trying on the pants and the shirt. He's like, does this fit? Does this fit?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And like, it's funny to me thinking about it now, because now I've been in here at this beautiful, very romantic resort for one whole day. Yeah. I'm all dressed up, right? Now my husband, my kids have just gone to bed, and my husband and I could probably sit here by the pool, have a couple of drinks, and have like a nice romantic time. But you know, I'm going to look at him and I'm going to yawn so hard. I'm going to yawn in his face like fucking Simba from The Lion King. And he is going to be like,
he's already passed out with the kids. He's gone.
Oh, he's out. Yeah. Right now I'm recording. He's going to blame it. Also, he's going to be like, you're doing your podcasting business.
Yeah.
But, you know, I totally understand. So when Tommy was like, does Folgers make crack cocaine? I was like, Tommy, honey, baby, what are you saying? I agree.
He says you are my roommate. What does he call my housemate?
He calls her his housemate, which she is.
She is, but it's like she's like housemate.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, he wrote such lovely things about you, MJ. That was one thing that was not quite right. That was not quite lovely, but it was true.
Yeah.
It wasn't horrible. I cannot wait for a card from my husband with, right now he buys a card with stuff already written in there. He signs his name. Those were the days when he would actually write stuff on it.
I know. I do think that one of the interesting things for me this episode was MJ talking to Tommy about like how she quote unquote wants to be violated. And then Tommy was like, yeah, was let's like, bring
don't our... let Crystal find out. I was like, don't let Crystal and Sutton find out. Oh no, not violated again.
Oh my God. But that's hilarious. But you know, it's funny to me because I noticed something about MJ. So MJ says, you know, MJ, we've always known MJ from the beginning of when we met her to be this very sexual person who wants to be treated as a sexy person. She wants to be seen as sexy. And I think when she met Tommy, it was like Tommy thinks that she's absolutely the most like sexual being ever. But now Tommy looks at her as not just a very beautiful, sexy woman, but also this incredible person who gave him a son. And it's a shift in how he views her And yeah. I think that it's not just a shift in how he views her, but even how MJ views herself. I don't think MJ quite, not accepts, but I don't think that she quite has, she hasn't quite settled into the role of being a mommy that she, that I think that because her husband is now seeing her as a mother, I think she's uncomfortable with it. I think she's like, until she gets to view herself more like that, more confidently, she's not going to feel quite right with her husband already getting to that point, which is sweet. It's like, I hope that they figure it out. I think they probably did, those two crazy kids.
I think they have one of the best marriages. I hope they were. They work through whatever issues they have, you know, and really figure that out, because I really want that marriage to work. That's one marriage that, Bravo marriage that I really, really wish works out fine.
I know. One relationship I don't care for at all is Destiny and Nima.
What is this random shit? Like, just because both of you are single and there's nobody else around, you guys are now going to boink. This is not even, no one's interested.
No, and also, did you run out of people for London to go and psychoanalyze?
Right.
London's like, I'm just coming here casually to hang out with you. Also, here's a bunch of tarot cards. Here's a, like, another little London, gimmick.
What are you, like, suddenly now you're not a psychiatrist or a psychoanalyst. Now you're a tarot card reader.
She's a life coach, actually.
Life coach. Oh, it was like all over the place. London. Pick a lane.
Yeah, exactly. But I still loved it. I still love Shadows of Sunset no matter what. Mm-hmm. And then I watched Watch What Happens Live afterwards, and it was Candace and Nima. Mm-hmm. Did you watch it?
Yeah.
Okay, how, because who cares about Nima? How lovely was Candace?
She was actually very pleasant. It was a very, actually, the both of them were actually nice.
Yes.
Nima was decent too.
Yeah.
But it was a very pleasant Watch What Happens Live.
Yeah. And did you see the game that Candace played where she sang all of the lines?
Yeah.
It was so funny.
Yeah. She's got some good voice. She's a legit. She's like, Candy Burris kind of.
I mean, let's not be crazy here.
Well, no, she had a good voice.
She has a great voice. I wouldn't say. But also, does Candy have a great voice?
No, that's what I mean. Like,
I know, you're right.
Somewhere in the middle. They both
also, did you see, I mean, she's a former housewife, but did you see the clip of Nene at her club?
No.
She's got a lounge, I think, in Atlanta called Lanithia Lounge.
Oh.
And there's a video of her singing. And she's so good. And I was like, man, whenever I see shit like this about Nene, I'm like, I do miss her on Atlanta. But
no, I don't.
She's a monster now. So she's
Nope. Yeah, but there was also the scene with Gigi and Shervin and them trying to make up. I don't know, man. I don't know. What does that have to do with anything? I don't understand.
Shervin is a friend of. Mm-hmm. He's a friend of. We don't need to see them trying to make up. This is dumb.
Yeah. And then Gigi is now going to take them into the jungle.
Next episode. That I'm excited about.
Yeah, that I'm excited for too.
Yeah.
Something happens where somebody yells at London.
Reza
yells at London.
Yeah. Reza's going to start fighting with London, probably because he's going to be like, listen, you fucking production plant, I've had enough of you. and I'm going to say, see, guys, I told you so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was an okay episode. I laughed.
Fine. Yeah.
It was fine. Yeah.
Well, that's it for this episode. I hope you guys appreciated it. Audio quality being off and all, background music and all.
Flies and cockroaches and all.
Flies and all. Our next episode is going to be delayed. We might have to do a Family Karma and a Housewives episode together because we usually record on Thursday nights and I'm flying back that night and then we're busy on the weekend. So we're going to figure it out, but we will be covering the Family Karma finale.
We will drop it sometime.
We'll drop it some point sometime. Over the weekend.
Over the weekend, but we don't quite know when.
Yeah, because you know what, guys? Nobody pays us to do this.
Yes.
We don't even pay ourselves.
Because you know why? Because we didn't set up a Patreon.
Because we haven't set...
Set up a Patreon.
Maybe this week I'll set up a Patreon.
Yeah, right.
Famous last words of every episode.
You're on vacation. Yeah, you're not.
Yeah, I'm going to look at the Patreon and say, does Folgers make crack cocaine? Because I'm too tired to do this. Okay, well, guys, we'll talk to you next episode, whenever it is. I don't know. Yeah. Who knows? We'll find out. Maybe I'll just live here forever, and this is just what the sound quality will be, because I'll be recording from Mexico, and then you guys will stop listening to the podcast. But do support us on Patreon whenever that gets set up.
Go get some Zen when.
Yes, I will. I will go get some Zen when I fall asleep. Okay, bye.